Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All around the world this week, people have been applauded. Sports people, singers, entertainers, even politicians. All around the world, people have been applauded. We're in church this morning. I reckon God should be applauded, don't you? How about it, before I start to preach, give God a really wonderful hand just now. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify your name. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. So we're reflecting his glory. But we can only reflect his glory if we look at him. We are reflecting his glory. That's what we're doing today. Have you ever thought, probably you haven't because we take things for granted, but have you ever thought how important a mirror is? Can you, I would say that every person here today, every one of you, have got mirrors. Not one, several in your house. Can you imagine living at a time when there's no mirrors? During the medieval period, there were no mirrors for the ordinary people. The rich, the wealthy had mirrors, but most people had no mirrors. They just was not something that people had. So if you wanted to know what you looked like, you had to look into a pond, a river, a lake, a bucket of water, or if you could afford it, you'd polish something up, maybe some metal surface or maybe some stone surface, and polish it up to try to get to see what you look like. But we can't imagine that, because I will guarantee, let me have a look now, I guarantee that every one of you has looked in a mirror today. And I know that because you didn't get up looking like that. Come on. You've all used a mirror. But we use it almost subconsciously. It's just something we do. We expect to look in a mirror. We get up, get out of bed, drag ourselves into the bathroom and look in the mirror. Now, a lot of people, when they look in the mirror, think, wow, look at that. But a lot of us, like me, look in the mirror and think, oh, dear, what is that looking back at me? So there's some people who love to look at, can't look at enough mirrors. I think some people's got mirrors in every single room to keep looking at themselves. But then other people like me try to sort of hide the mirrors. Once you've had a look, that's enough for the day. But mirrors are important. I was thinking the other day, I was looking up at the moon and its brilliance. And I don't know much about physics, but I know that the moon is an inanimate object that's dark. It's rock, stone, iron. There's no light on the moon at all. It is totally dark. There's no lights shining on the moon. But I looked up in the sky and the moon was reflecting the light of the sun, and it was shining so bright, I was amazed. Then the other morning, I saw it in the sky during the day. It was mid-morning, I looked up, and the moon was shining. The sun had caught it, and it was shining. And you know that the moon reflects the light of the sun. I don't understand that because I'm not that good at physics, but I'm sure if there's somebody here who's good at physics, could explain to me how a dark, inanimate object can suddenly shine bright. It's a mystery to me. But they tell me that the Earth also does. The astronauts that have been into space, those who went on the moon, could actually see the light hitting the Earth from the sun and the brilliance of light that the Earth gave off, because the Earth has got wonderful colors in it. It's got oceans. And they could see the beautiful colors. Can you imagine standing on the moon looking at the Earth? Looking at the Earth with all of its beauty. And that was reflecting the light of the sun. Because when the Earth turns around from the sun, you can't see that side of it. It's dark. It's black. So for the light, for the Earth and the moon to give off light, they have to be reflecting the sun. I think, I don't know about you, but I just think that is incredible, the power of the sun, what it can do. And it comes from all those miles, 93 million miles away it comes, and the light is so strong, it still reflects off things. Incredible. In fact, when you go out there after this message, everything you see out there is reflecting the sun. That's why all the colors come. It's reflecting it. Everything. What you see, do you know when you're looking at things, houses, trees, grass, lakes, valleys, mountains, you're looking at the reflection of the sun. They are all reflecting the sun, and that reflection shows their colors, their contours. It's incredible. So it would be, I think, a terrible thing to live without mirrors. And some would even miss them more than others. But mirrors are an incredible thing because they show us what we look like. And somebody once said to me, what can't speak can't lie. But I learned that it can, because you say, well, you look in a mirror. Mirrors don't lie. No, they don't. Mirrors tell the truth. Or do they? Who's ever heard of a place that you could often go to on fairgrounds and sometimes where people are all getting together and all sorts of things are coming together, and we have our, what's it called, every year, the royal shows all around the country. Sometimes they have what is called the Hall of Mirrors, and it's usually a room about as big as this room, and they put 20 to 30 mirrors in the room, and the mirrors are almost full-length mirrors, not little ones, but full-length, and they stick them on the walls. And people go in and look at these mirrors. And we've got a little picture to just show you what I want to see, show you what the Hall of Mirrors looks like. Now, there are three mirrors, and are they speaking the truth? No, they're not speaking the truth. They are lying. And do you know why they're lying? Because those mirrors have been made in such a way that they've been bent in various parts. Depending how you bend it, they've got contours and bends. That's how you look. So there's three different images there of that girl. Well, when you go in the House of Mirrors, there can be up to 25, 30 different mirrors, all showing you different images of yourself. Who's ever been in a House of Mirrors? Hands up, let me see. Not so many of you. I remember in England seeing them, but I also saw one here in Australia when I was in Caloundra on holiday. I went into a Hall of Mirrors, and I'd forgotten almost what it was like. And you have a real good laugh because you look so stupid. And I was thinking one day, can you imagine if you was born in a House of Mirrors, born, and you never left? You was fed in the House of Mirrors. You clothed yourself there, but you never actually went outside. You never saw anything but those mirrors reflecting. You'd think to yourself after a while, which one really is me? Come on. If you grew up never going outside, but just all you're looking at are distorted mirrors, none of them telling the truth, all lying, and you would think, well, what do I really look like? In the Hall of Mirrors, when you go to the fairs, they have all these different mirrors, but there was always one that is you. And sometimes when you've gone around them and you come up to yourself, you think, well, that's good. That's what I really look like. That one's telling the truth. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, the world in which we live is a hall of distorted mirrors. See, it's a beautiful thing where we can see the reflection of the sun. We can see the light of the sun, what it's done to our beautiful earth. We can see those lovely colors and the contours and all the creation that God has made. But there's something wrong with the world. And I don't mean the trees or the forests or the lakes or the rivers or the valleys or the grass or the flowers. I mean the people. We live in a broken world. We live in a complicated world. We live in a distorted world. And can I say that the devil is always trying to get you and me to look at mirrors or images that distort us? All sorts of things. Religions, distortions, politics, distortions, drug addiction, distortion. It goes on and on and on. You're not going to like this one. Social media, distortions, news, distortions, journalists, distortions. There are so many distortions. Wokeness. I thought I got a reaction then. Wokeness. Distortion. Not truth. Not truth. Lies. Social media. Much of it. Lies. And our young people are taking their understanding of life from social media like never before. Like never before. Since the phone has been invented as we know it now, that is this, young people's lives have changed radically. Young people now look at that and spend hours and hours and hours and hours looking at it. But what are they looking at? Well, there's a lot of knowledge. Do you know, you live in a world where there's no shortage of knowledge. Knowledge is increasing every day. But you live in a world where there's an incredible shortage of wisdom. What is the most important thing, knowledge or wisdom? Well, the world thinks it's knowledge. Because we have schools, educational facilities, universities that teach knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Show me a school or a university today that's teaching wisdom. Show me one. I've looked. Wisdom is not taught. Knowledge is taught. But a lot of that knowledge is distorted and twisted. And we can't see it because we can't see anything else but that if we're just zoned in on that. How sad is that? I believe everybody in the world needs to read over and over again the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is God's wisdom. Come on. Winston Churchill once said every statesman around the world should read the book of Proverbs because it's wisdom. So listen, there's no shortage of knowledge. I found that out. In fact, on there, I've got what you've got called Google, and you could talk to Google, and you can ask Google questions. And when I first started to do that, I thought, this is great. This is good. Look at that. It gives me answers straight away. I used to have to go searching in books and looking. But now I just ask a question. What should your heart rate be? It'll tell you. Wonderful. And if you've not got a good heart rate, what should you do about it? Answers come. But then I realized something. Lots of answers come. different answers. I'm talking about from doctors. I do a lot of research on health, and it's amazing how many different doctors disagree with each other. Come on, it's amazing. One doctor will say to you, drink a lot of water. Is that right? You've heard that? Well, I heard a doctor last week, a guy that is a top heart specialist in Australia, one of the top, saying you don't need to drink water. He said the only thing that water will do for you is make you pee. That's what he said on the radio. He said there's no need for it. What you normally have with your tea and your coffee, that's sufficient. Then another doctor will say, absolute rubbish. You need to drink at least five. My daughter tells me, she gave me a bottle of water before I got up to preach, but I left it down there. But because she's always trying to get me to drink water, but she'll tell you how much you should drink. So there's knowledge, but there's... I just happened to look at YouTube the other day. I thought, I'd just find out a little bit more about how the American politics is going. And I started to listen to what they were saying about Trump. Donald Trump, he was terrible, some of the people were saying. Then I listened to other people. It was wonderful what they were saying. So I went over to Biden. I looked at some YouTube people. Biden is, he's ready for a nursing home, they say. He should be being looked after and fed. And then others say, what a wonderful man. He's got a sharp brain. Now, I've been watching some of these clips that they're trying to say, the clips of him, have been, they're not real. They're false. They've been edited. But they're not. It is him. He's old. And he's going downhill. But his wife said, what a wonderful, marvelous, sharp brain he's got. And I'm thinking, there's all this knowledge out there. Who's telling the truth? It's knowledge without wisdom. Would you agree to that? I've lived long enough to know that it is not knowledge that we lack. It's wisdom that we lack. And it's just so sad. I don't want to reflect this world. I don't want to reflect the politics of America or the UK or Australia. I don't want to reflect the religions of this world. I don't. Don't want to do that. I don't want to reflect the philosophies of this world. All I want to reflect is Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. I had a real shock about maybe 3 weeks ago now. I was coming home on a Saturday morning from visiting my sister, and I turned the radio on. And there was this program on, and there was a journalist, an American journalist. She was a lady journalist, and she had heard that there's a new app that you can download that actually is the app of somebody that will become your friend. That was, and so this woman, she lives in America, decided to investigate it. And she found one woman who had done it. Well, the woman, I'd say a woman, she probably was about between 18 and 22 by the sound of her voice. And this lady, this woman, she was lonely. She didn't feel received by people. Apparently, the journalist says she was quite a good-looking girl. And she downloaded the app. And this journalist had found out about her. So she interviewed her. She says, you've got this app. Can I listen to it? She says, of course you can. So she opened the phone, put the app on, and on comes this voice speaking to this girl. The voice knows her name. Voice of a man. Very sexy voice of a man, obviously a young man. Look, and you can imagine a handsome man behind that. And he was talking to her, and she was talking to him. Seriously talking, having a conversation. And the journalist was trying to get a head around this and said to the girl, you just talk like this. No, this person I'm talking to can remember things. Can remember what I've said. I've been talking to this person now for months, and she's named him. She's given him a name. He knows her name. He knows everything about her. They will go on the beach together, sit on the beach. She'll have something to eat and have a conversation with him. He'll say to her, and he calls her name, say her name was Mary. I forget what her name was, but hello, Mary, how are you today? How are you keeping? Did you have a good night's sleep? What are you eating right now? Tell me. And she says, I say things and he remembers them. So in the weeks and months I've been doing this, he knows a lot about me. He knows everything about me. Well, her mother, this girl, this American, was born, she's actually of Chinese stock. Her mother's come from China, but she was born here, the girl. So her mother speaks with a strong Chinese accent. The girl speaks with an American accent, and so did this guy on the phone. And so her mother said to her one day, why are you on the phone so much? You're never off the phone. She says, no, I'm talking to my friend. And her mother says, what friend's that? She says, oh, I've downloaded an app and it's a friend now. It's a friend of mine. And her mother said, oh, what? A friend of yours? She said, what's his name? So she told him his name, told him quite a lot about him. And then the mother said, well, can I speak to him? She says, sure, of course you can, Mum. So she gave her the phone. And the girl said to the journalist, when my mother started to speak to this person in this broken Chinese accent, he spoke back to her in a broken Chinese accent. And not only that, he picked up her culture and was speaking to her culturally different to what he was speaking to this other girl who was American. I'm listening to this, and guess what? I'm getting upset. I'm thinking, dear God, where are we going? It's an app. You can get it. I don't know whether you've got to get it yet in Australia. Maybe some of you know more than I do. Maybe you can. I have problems downloading apps. If I want apps, I've got to go to this young lady here, and she helps me with the apps. But in America, you can get it. You pay for it. But can you imagine anybody becoming so friendly with a voice? There's no picture. There's a voice. It's not like a robot that you can see. This is a voice on there that you talk to and tell this voice your intimate secrets, how you feel, what you desire in life. And this voice that she thinks represents a man is a man, talks back to her as if it's absolutely natural. It's called AI, artificial intelligence. Come on. You've all heard of AI, haven't you? You've all heard of artificial intelligence. Have you? Show me if you have. Most of you. Where have you been if you've not heard of artificial intelligence? It's all around the place. Robots are artificial intelligence. A lot of things that's happening with your computer and your iPad and your phone is artificial intelligence. A lot of bank stuff is artificial intelligence. It goes on and on and on. It's artificial intelligence. So yesterday, I decided to look up the word artificial. Artificial means made or produced by human beings rather than occurring naturally. Insincere, false. It's not real. That's artificial intelligence. And the world's moving towards artificial intelligence. When I heard this, my heart sank. And listen to this girl, she sounds lovely. I don't know her, I didn't see any photographs of her, but I heard her, and I felt sorry for her. She's seeking help. She's seeking understanding. She's feeling lonely. She wants comforting. And she gets it from a voice on there. Does that upset you like it upsets me? I'm telling you, it upsets me. It upsets me. Because the girl cannot find it anywhere else. Listen, this is her distorted mirror. Come on. That app has become to her a distorted mirror because she's looking at it and believing it. She cannot go out of the house without a phone. She cannot go any prolonged time without talking to that voice because that voice gives her, she thinks, all the reassurance she wants. Well, the person who was interviewing her, this journalist, was absolutely flabbergasted like I was. the journalist had heard about it and sought somebody out and found this girl. But there's others in America with it. I ask you this question. What is the world coming to? When I can't find strength and help and comfort from my family, then I've got to look at AI. When I can't find strength or help or comfort or real good advice from people I work with, I've got to go to AI. What a world in which we live. What a mixed up world with all the distorted mirrors. Everywhere you go, distorted mirrors. Everything you hear, distorted mirrors. Many years ago, I was pastoring in Armidale. And the Armidale area where we was, the Armidale Flats, it was sort of a lower socioeconomic area. So I was getting lots of people in with lots of problems. So most of the time, I was dealing with problematic people. And it was a 24/7. I'd get rung up at all hours of the night with wacky people who wanted help. But of course, I got to try and help them all I could. But after I'd been doing that job for probably 15 years, or 12 to 15 years, I forget exactly, I thought, I'd just like to see a bit of a change of people. So a guy said to me one day, he was in the Rotary, and he says, we used to have a vicar in the Rotary, and he's left the area, why don't you join the Rotary? I said, oh, okay. So, but you can't just join the Rotary. You have to have somebody introduce you. So you can't just say, front up and say, I want to join. They don't take anybody. They usually only take business people. People with a bit of, you know what? That's what they take. But they like to have a vicar on because it looks good for them. So I said, I'll join. It'd be nice to rub shoulders with some business people, with some men who's got money, with some people who are thinkers, intelligent, visionaries. I thought, I want to see. So they introduced me, and I went to see the guy, about three guys that was interview you. And in the interview, they said, I'm a pastor of the Armidale Family Church, been here for 15 years. And they said, yeah, we've heard about the church. We know the good things that you're doing. We do a lot of feeding programs and things like that. We know. And I said, well, I'm just wondering if it's possible for me to join Rotary. They said, we'd love you to. And they said the same thing. We've just had a vicar that's left, but we'd love you to come, Pastor John. Would you? Yes, I'll join. And there's a joining fee. And then you go every Tuesday night for a meal with all the Rotary members. And there's a fee on that, so because you go to a restaurant. And they said to me, we want you to join, but we won't charge you the whole fee just off. And when you come to the meals, we won't charge you the full price, just half. And I said, why? He said, well, because you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, excuse me, I am a pastor. I'm a son of God. I'm paying my way. I said, whatever it costs, I'm going to pay. And they got shocked by that straight away. And so I joined them. And when you join, all newcomers have to give a talk for 20 minutes at the first meal they're at. They have to give a talk on what they do. What an opening that was for me. But you're only allowed 20 minutes. And if you go any longer than 20 minutes, they ring the bell and you've got to sit down. But it's just, so I got up there and I started to tell them what I do, that I'm a preacher. I pastor a church. I've done missionary work. And the reason I do it. So I talked for 20 minutes, 20 minutes were up, but you know what, I can go a bit long with. And it went on and on. Nobody rang the bell. So I must have spoke for 45 minutes. I kid you not. Then afterwards, they were all flabbergasted. They thought, wow, wow, wow. 2 weeks later, the guy came to me and says, we want to ask you how you became a Christian. How did that happen? So I gave my testimony the other week here on how it happened. So I say, I'd love to. So I got up there again, and they didn't ring the bell, and I gave my testimony. What, do you think that's good? That's God. As I looked around and got talking to them, there was none of them that were actual Christians. None of them went to church, but they were businessmen, clever men. And this is my thinking. I'm going to learn something from these guys. I'm going to learn something. Well, guess what? I learned nothing. Do you know what I learned? That these guys, a lot of them, have got poor marriages. A lot of them, the wives have walked out of the marriage. A lot of them got kids that were on the rails. A lot of them was really depressed because of the business, trying to keep it going, trying to get up there. I learned that these businessmen were not the happy-go-lucky, you know, visionaries. They were visionaries, but they got to try to push that vision. So over the time that I was with them, I counseled a number of them. They'd come to me for prayer and for counsel. Don't you think that's good? So what I'm trying to say is that wherever you go, I thought that business world would be a different world. But I was wrong. It's a distorted world. You can have as much money as you could possibly have and still not be happy. And we know that. You could even be a film star and hit the top but not be happy. You could even be a comic who can make millions of people laugh and you rake in millions of dollars and commit suicide because you're depressed. It's distorted. It's a totally distorted world out there that we live in. And we don't know it. It's like living in a hall of mirrors, being born in a hall of mirrors, walking around and not looking, knowing which one you look like. But you might think to yourself, I like that one. I don't like you too much. I don't like you too much. I like that. I think that's me. But you're still looking at a distortion. Come on. The mirrors are twisted. The mirrors are... Are they mirrors? But these distorted mirrors give an image, listen to this, that you think you are. You actually think that is you. Can I say this now? The devil wants a piece of your mind. The devil always wants a piece of your mind. And he'll do whatever it takes. He'll bring any distortion into your life to get hold of your mind. He'll do anything to get a piece of your mind to stop you from coming to God. So AI, artificial intelligence, not interested. Although, I have found an AI. I've searched for one and found one. And I actually live my life by this AI. Everything I am, I hope, and everything I do, everything I wish, I live by this AI. I downloaded it. I actually downloaded this AI. It's called the Bible. But it's not artificial intelligence. It is AI, advanced intelligence. Come on. Come on. I now believe in advanced intelligence. And I found it. I've loaded it down to this. I've loaded it down to my iPad. And I've got one here, a big one. It's the Bible. It is actually wonderfully advanced intelligence because it comes from God. That scripture that I read to you is a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Let me read it again. Now, the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. When I look in the mirror, it is reflecting me. But if I cover my face, I can't see what I look like. I can be covered and look in a mirror and not know what I'm like. Listen to this. I need to look at God with an uncovered face. Because I believe that the Bible, this wonderful AI, this advanced intelligence, I believe that the Bible is a mirror. I believe that the Bible is the best mirror that there is. When I first start to look into the Bible, it shows me a picture of who I am. Not a nice person. Not a good person. Sometimes when I've been gardening, working, I come in and I go into the bathroom to wash my hands and look in the mirror, and I may have dirt all over my face because I've been working. The mirror is being truthful. It's telling me I've got dirt on my face, so I wash it off. When I look into the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, not one. That's what I'm quoting the scripture. So I see myself as dirty. I see myself as pathetic, as broken. I see myself as someone who really needs help. But I don't leave it there. I keep reading. Because when I see the dirt that's there, I then learn about Jesus. We've sang it this morning. He washes the dirt away. His blood cleanses us from all. So as I keep reading, I read, yes, John, you are a sinner. You are dirty. But come to Jesus and he will save you. He will cleanse you and he'll make you clean. So when I look in the Bible now and I read it, because I know I was a sinner and I asked him to forgive me, and I came to this wonderful, wonderful advanced intelligence of God, and I said, God, I can't do it myself. I'd like to come to you, but I can't. I'm not good enough. I could try, but I could never get to you because of my sin. It stops me. But you said, come to you as you are. Come with the dirt on your faith. Come with the dirt on your hands. Come with the dirt on your feet. Come to me and I'll wash you. Do you remember Jesus at the Last Supper took a bowl of water and he washed the disciples' feet? Do you know, no rabbi ever did that for his disciples. It just was not the done thing. In fact, the disciples wouldn't even wash the feet. It was the slaves that did it, the servants. But Jesus took a towel and he got on his knees and he washed the dirty feet of the disciples. He didn't say, get your feet washed and you can come talk to me. No, he did it. And that's what God has done for you and me. Through Jesus Christ, we came to him sinful, dirty, and he washed us in the blood. Hallelujah. So you're clean. Glory to God. Now, I found a lot of knowledge in the Bible, but I found something else as well, a lot of wisdom. Come on. I want wisdom. I look in the Bible. I tell you, the book of Proverbs alone, many of the Psalms, full of wisdom. Look into the New Testament, see the wonderful wisdom that is there, the wisdom of God. So what I'm doing, I'm finishing with this. What I'm doing, I'm wanting to reflect the light of God. There's some very strong lights here. And you could see them reflecting on me. They're reflecting. And it's showing up my handsomeness. It's showing up my bald head. Showing up all the marks that I've got with everything, skin cancers cut off. It's showing them all up. The light is shining on me. Listen to this. I am reflecting that light. Some of you at the back I can't see because you're not standing where I am. I can't see you. That light is so bright, I'm reflecting its light. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is the one who gives light. But he didn't just say that. He said, I am the light of the world. Then he said, you are the light of the world. Because what is happening? We are reflecting his light. So just as you're looking at this face of mine now, and you are actually seeing the reflection of that light on me. That's what's showing me up. As Christians, we should be reflecting God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's righteousness. We should be reflecting that because we have become the light of the world. Amen. Praise God. So I ask this in closing. What image are you reflecting? What image? People reflect all sorts of images. If you see a real nasty person, you could be sure they're reflecting something that's happened. Nastiness. Drug addicts, they're reflecting something that's really bad. Why are they drug addicts? Something bad has happened. Hurting people, lonely people, frightened people, reflecting bad things, miserable people, unhappy people, sad people, reflecting bad things, not realizing it. But they're reflecting things that are happening around them. And I was brought up in an incredibly dysfunctional family. But at the age of 15, I gave my life to Jesus. And I stopped reflecting what was happening to me in that house. My dad was a drunkard and pretty violent man. And he'd come through the First World War. I understand all what he went through. But he was pretty violent. I said, when I became a Christian, this is where it stops. Because these are the stories I heard. My dad was violent, but his mother was violent. My wife, Julie, her father was violent to her, but her father's mother was violent. And then I found that there was this thing was happening. And I'm now a Christian. And I said, I will not reflect my father down here. I'm going to reflect my Father in heaven. I will not be violent. I will not be arrogant if I can help it. I will reflect the goodness of God. Not that I'm good, but I'm reflecting His goodness. Do you get that? Yes. Not that I'm righteous, but I'm reflecting His righteousness. It's that we're doing. So, I know most of you here, if not all of you, have got that AI. And I'm not talking about artificial intelligence. I know you've got that rubbish. But you've got the advanced intelligent, God's intelligent. And I'm going to say this as I close, and this is going to upset some of you, and I'm sorry about this. But I've got to say it. When you get to heaven, there'll be no social media. There'll be no Facebook, no Twitter. None of the other rubbish that actually, without us realizing it, distort us. Keep reading the Bible. Keep looking into the Bible. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Keep reading, 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 because you're reading wisdom. You're reading love. You're reading forgiveness. You're reading God's glory and power, and you're reading about what you will be when your body gets resurrected. You're reading about the new heaven and the new earth. You're reading about a wonderful creation without sin and sickness, without anger and murder, where everybody is equal and just, where we are all walking in peace and joy. That's all in the advanced intelligence. Hallelujah. So make sure you read it. Amen. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. I wonder, as I close in prayer, I'd like to pray for you. What or who are you reflecting? Now, I know people can do good things for us, and they have. My dad, as bad as he was, there were some good things, and I remember them. My mom, too. I have good memories as well as a lot of bad memories, and I choose to remember the good memories. Not everybody out there has done evil to you all the time. People have done good, and it's good to remember that. But don't get caught up in this world of distorted mirrors, because the devil wants to change you, not for the better, but for the worse. And you ask God right now to come into your heart. You ask Him to do that. Say, Jesus, come in. I want to reflect You, Jesus. I want to reflect Your love and Your goodness. I want You to give me a love for Your word, the Bible. I want to start reading the Bible more than I ever have before. In spite of all the so-called intelligence around us, in spite, Lord, of the knowledge, so much knowledge, Lord, we don't want to get away from the knowledge of our God. We don't want to get away from what you have done for us and what you want to do for us. Lord, if there's people here who need a touch from you just now, if there's people here, Lord, that's been looking at mirrors that are distorted, help them to look into your word and to see they can reflect your glory, your beauty, like no other. Lord, I pray for people here today. People, Lord, who are hurting, people who are lonely, people who are confused, young and old, I pray for them. That their hearts will turn to you, Lord. I pray even through this message, they'll turn to you. And when they go from this place, Lord, they will open the Bible. They'll read it. And Lord, not just every now and again, but they'll make it a daily habit of reading your word. They'll feed themselves with the precious word of God. That, Lord, we'll look into your word like we've never looked at it before. And we'll read it like we've never read it before, because we need it in this mad day and age. Lord, we want to stay sane in you. Lord, the world calls us fools, but we are fools for Christ's sake. We're fools for you, Jesus. There is a foolishness in this world we don't want to be part of, but we don't mind being a fool for you, Jesus, because you have the truth. So may you bless us as a congregation. May you bless us as a church. May we be rich in the things of God because we put our time and effort into delving into your word. Bless your word, your everlasting word. Bless it. May each one of us prosper from it and have that wisdom from your word that you want us to have. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, but they didn't say it loud enough, so they got to say it again. Everybody said, amen. I thought that was a pretty good message. I thought it was a good word. Come on. Not me, God speaking through me. I believe he was speaking to us. So I think, you know, the word amen means it's settled. It's done. We've done it. Settled. Let's say a big amen to this message that God wants you to read his word like you never have before. After two, I want you to shout amen. One, two. Amen. Good on you. Thank you. God bless.